greet each one this morning in the wonderful name of Jesus, the one that I trust that we are here to worship this morning. Brother Jason made thought about this being the last Sunday of the year. Time moves on. Time doesn't wait on any of us, does it? And life goes on. That is the thought, the train of my thought this morning, and that of the future. And if I was to give a title for my sermon this morning, it would be, what is your vision for the year ahead? We live in a time of great prosperity. We live in a time unknown before of mankind. And in the material things of life, if a man is to succeed, he must have a vision for the future. Because without a vision, you don't know where you're headed. And a wise man will look ahead. I think we've all seen that. We know what we're talking about. Proverbs 29 verse 18 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. So what is our vision this morning? What is your goal? What do you want? Are you stumbling along this morning just through life and, you know, what comes? Yeah, we just take it all in stride. But exactly where we're wanting to go, well, that I don't really know. I life is life. Is that what you think this morning? Brother Scott this morning in his devotions kind of set the thought pattern of that also. Whose God are we wanting to serve this morning? Who is the master of my life? What do you want in the future this morning? I have a friend here a couple of years ago. He does my plumbing. And it was one of those first cold mornings toward the end of September there. And he come to work that morning. He was doing an underground plumbing job. And he had his insulated overalls on, you know, and his Carhartt coat. And he was all bundled up and he had a pair of tennis shoes on. Well, I said, well, Jay, your feet are going to get cold. You got all covered up everywhere else. Why don't you put a warm pair of shoes on? Oh, yeah, Marvin, he said, that's right. And so we visited a little bit just about, you know, the cold and different things of life. And he said, you know what? He said, it may sound funny to you, but he said, you know, if ever in life I get money, if I get moneyed up, he said, if I have riches, he said, you know what? He said, I would like to have a new pair of socks every day. He said, you cannot tell me that they make a washing machine good enough to get all the cooties out of them socks you wore the day before. Now that was a vision he had, that he would like to wear a new pair of socks. Well, you say, well, that's pretty simple, that's pretty modest. But what do you want in life? What is your vision? The future is unknown. And I believe that God has done that for a purpose. Because we would cry out in despair if we knew the future. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now we all have a slate this morning, don't we? We all have a, if you want to call it, a blackboard in front of us. That's what we are. The past is here. The future is here in front of us. But you know, with every one of us here this morning, there is not a one of us excluded. We all have our will that comes with us. We have our character that comes along with us. And so our slate is not necessarily just perfectly clean. Because Marvin brings Marvin along. That is right. and you bring yourself along. And so be not deceived, God is not mocked. If we want for the future the good, the godly, the things that pertain to riches in Christ, then we must bring along with ourselves our character and our will surrendered to Christ Jesus. The amazing thing about the law of sowing and reaping is that if you're going to plant carrots, you'll reap carrots, won't you? Pretty simple. If you're going to want to have peas, well then you're going to plant peas. And you always reap more than what you sow. That's a law of physics. It's a law of dying. You always reap more than what you sowed. And in the Christian life, that is such a blessing as you think about that. That is a promise that none of us are worthy of. That we reap more than what we sowed. Because I believe that if we sow the seeds of godliness, we will reap those same seeds. But you know, it is a sobering and a sad thought to think that the same is true. If we sow to the flesh, the harvest we will reap of fleshly things. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8 through 16, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. All that we may win Christ. That we may be found in Him. That we may know Him. Is that our vision this morning? That we may know Christ. That we may be found in Him. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward. I don't know a lot about your farming practices here. I just come and seen the green grass, and I don't even know if you use a mow board plow anymore. I don't know that. But you know, when you think of pressing forward, you think of a man that makes that first furrow with a mowboard plow. If he is always going to be looking back to see if it's straight, well then, you know, chances are it's not going to be straight. But if you have your eye upon a goal, upon a fixed mark, you can make a straight furrow because you have a reference point. I press toward the mark. Oh, we must keep our eyes on Jesus this morning. Jesus Christ must be the mark, the goal of our life. Turn back to chapter 2 of Philippians and verse 14 through 16. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice. Holding forth Christ. It is a letdown feeling whenever you have done something with all your heart, and to know that you have done it in vain. There is, you know, it just kind of like the bottom falls out of you. I'm talking about natural things of life. We've all had those disappointing times of life. But you know, if we hold forth the word of life, if we hold forth Jesus this morning, we will not labor in vain. Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now let's go to chapter 4 of Philippians and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Christian virtues this morning. If we have a vision for a godly life, if we have a vision that we desire to attain, then Christian virtues must be a must in our life this morning. I would like to read that poem called The Choice this morning. It's quiet. It's early. My coffee is hot. The sky is still black. The world is still asleep. The day is coming. In a few moments, the day will arrive. It will roar down the track with the rising of the sun. The stillness of the dawn will be exchanged for the noise of the day. The calm of the solitude will be replaced by the pounding pace of the human race. The refuge of the early morning will be invaded by the decisions to be made and deadlines to be met. For the next 12 hours, I will be exposed to the day's demands. It is now that I must make a choice. Because of Calvary, I'm free to choose. And so I choose. I choose love. No occasion justifies hatred. No injustice warrants bitterness. I choose love. Today, I will love God and what God loves. I choose joy. No occasion justifies hatred. No injustice warrants bitterness. I choose joy. I will invite my God to be the God of circumstance. I will refuse the temptation to be cynical, the tool of the lazy thinker. I will refuse to see people as anything less than human beings created by God. I will refuse to see any problem as anything less than an opportunity to see God. I choose peace. I will live forgiven. I will forgive so that I may live. I choose patience. I will overlook the inconveniences of the world. Instead of cursing the one who takes my place, I will invite him to do so. Rather than complain that the wait is too long, I will thank God for the moment to pray. Instead of clenching my fists at new assignments, I will face them with joy and courage. I choose kindness. I will be kind to the poor, for they are alone. I will be kind to the rich, for they are afraid. And kind to the unkind, for that is how God has treated me. I choose goodness. I will go without a dollar before I take a dishonest one. I will be overlooked before I boast. I will confess before I accuse. I choose goodness. I choose faithfulness. Today, I will keep my promises. My debtors will not regret their trust. My associates will not question my word. My wife will not question my love. And my children will never fear that their father will not come home. I choose gentleness. Nothing is won by force. I choose to be gentle. If I raise my voice, may it be only in praise. If I clench my fists, may it only be in prayer. If I make a demand, may it be only of myself. I choose self-control. I am a spiritual being. After this body is dead, my spirit will soar. I refuse to let what will rot rule the eternal. I choose self-control. I will be drunk only by joy. I will be impassioned only by my faith. I will be influenced only by God. I will be taught only by Christ. I choose self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, to these I commit my day. This morning, I have 9 different points, if you want to call it that, 9 different thoughts that I have, things that we must do if we want, if our vision, if we want to succeed in the year ahead, 9 things that we must do, and I know that they are very elementary, but I have 9 of them. And first one I have, I want found in Matthew chapter 7, and that of prayer. Matthew chapter 7, begin reading at verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Matthew 17, verse 19. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? Speaking of the casting out the devil, the unclean spirit out of a person. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. We have the account in Genesis chapter 32 of Jacob on his way to meet his brother Esau. We know that the life of Jacob before this point had been a life of using a very subtle man, gaining things not always by by rightful practice. But after serving his father-in-law for all those years, and now the Lord having been with him and he's wanting to go back to his homeland. And on his way back that day, and he had divided and he had made, I guess you could say, gifts of peace sent ahead of him for his brother Esau to see if he could appease his brother Esau, because he had been told that Esau is coming with 400 men. And in Jacob's mind, he did not know what his brother had in mind, and there was fear there. But you know, after all of that, preparing and setting little groups and wanting to space them apart to meet his brother. And that night, as darkness set, and Jacob was there all alone, and there came a man and wrestled with him. And Jacob wrestled with that man until the breaking of dawn. And he said, "Let me go." And Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." I guess my question this morning that I have for each one of us, and myself included, when is the last time that we have wrestled until the breaking of the dawn? Do we know this morning what it is in time of prayer and fasting and perseverance that we mean business with God? We don't know what the future is. We don't know what our lives are tomorrow. But do we at times, what made Jacob know that night that man that he wrestled with was God? What made him know that? Did that night, as Jacob wrestled with that man, did that man wrestle different than any other man did? There's a lot of things that go through your mind as you think of that encounter of those two men wrestling the whole night. But do you know what it is this morning to wrestle, to gain victory in your life? Second point I have is the Word. Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." James 1, verse 22, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." I think I made mention of this the other day. But you know, if you are like me this morning, there are things in life that are more pleasant than reading your Bible. There are times when you cannot wait to read your Bible. Get up in the morning. That is your soul's desire. But not every morning do you wake up and you have that real urge to read your Bible. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm exposing myself here this morning. But there is no place on earth that you will be closer to God than when you read His Word. And so We must, by discipline, I believe, if we want to be true, if we want to be strong, the diet of reading the Word of God must be a great portion of our day. Because when we read the Word, I find it best for myself to read the Word in the morning, because I am not a night person. It gets late at night. I can fall asleep with the best of them. But you read the Word of God in the morning so that it's there all the day long while you work and whatever you do, that your meditation can be there. And the Word of God is quick. It is powerful. It is sharp. It knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. And the Scripture says that our heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, try the reins. The Lord knows our hearts this morning. He knows our hearts better than I know my heart, and that you know your heart. And so may the Word, that diet of reading the Word, be a part of us. Third one I have is to set a watch on my mouth. James chapter 3, verse 6, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body, and it is set on fire of hell. Proverbs 13, verse 3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. He that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Proverbs 18, verse 8, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. And I am sure that when you went to school, you probably learned that same little thing about, you know, you have two ears and one mouth. Some of those finer details of that little poem I forget, but I do remember that part, and I think that's the most vital part of it, that we got two ears, but we have one mouth. So the Lord meant that we're supposed to listen more than we are to talk. But you know, some of us like to hear the sound of our own voice, don't we? We like to hear smart people talk, and we like to talk to smart people. You know, we are conceited, just conceited. Whoso keepeth his mouth. And you know, I guess this morning I believe that verse in Proverbs that says that he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life. That is Bible this morning, and I believe that the older I get, the more truth that I see in that verse. And that is one of my visions and my goals, that I would keep my mouth. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Proverbs 16, verse 24. Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. Matthew 12, verse 36 and verse 37. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. I made mention this morning earlier, I read that verse of whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And you know, in the dispensation of which we live today, we don't live in the day of law where a man is cut off and his life taken instantly many times by a sin that he does. But you know that verse says that by thy words thou shalt be justified and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. The Lord, the righteous judge, knows every word that I say. And in his little book, or in his big book, I don't know exactly the size of his book this morning, but he knows record of what you and I say this morning. Of that I know because of what the Bible says. God ruling in every area of my life. Proverbs chapter 4. It's the fourth one I have. That every part of my life would be governed by God. Proverbs chapter 4. Verse 23-24, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. And I think 4 and 5 go close together. I'm just going to give point number 5 with this also, and that is having my priorities in order. Matthew 6, verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You take the life of Esther this morning. Esther was the queen. Her uncle Mordecai sat at the entrance of the gate, which was her uncle. Esther and Mordecai were Jews. Haman was a man that never noticed that Mordecai did not give him reverence until someone came by one day and asked him about why Mordecai doesn't bow or give you reverence. And so Haman started to pay attention to that, and it just started eating him, and it just worked on him, Well, he said, this has got to be. And so he devised a plan. So he devised that plan that all the Jewish people he would get rid of. And he went to the king, 13th day of the first month. And they wrote up a decree that on the 13th day of the 12th month, every Jew in that land would be destroyed. Their life would end. And Mordecai, it says, put on sackcloth and ashes and cried a bitter cry. And I don't know what all Mordecai was thinking. Well, maybe he was thinking, well, you know, maybe I should have just kept my mouth shut. And maybe I should have, even though it was wrong for a Jewish man to give allegiance to another man, is that it was against his belief and the way he was taught and the principle of how they were taught. Oh, maybe I should have just... You don't read that, though. As a man of principle, there's some things in the Scripture you don't know, and you can't make the Scripture say something that it doesn't say. But those are all things that go through your mind. But all of the nation of the Jews they cried out in despair, and they were in sackcloth and ashes. What did Esther do with the discourse between her uncle Mordecai and herself? She fasted for 3 days and did not drink for 3 days. All the Jews of the city there and her maidens, and they cried out to God. She had not went in before the king for 30 days. And if she went in before the king and not summoned, her life could be snatched away. And that was what the prayer, the fasting was for 3 days, that they might find favor in the king's eyes. And if I perish, I perish. Because if you do your math, it was going to be less than 11 months later, her life would be snatched away anyways. And in that time of sackcloth and ashes, and in prayer and fasting, she went before the king and made her petition. Not the first day and not the second day, but the third day is when she summoned and told the king all her heart. And of how her people, if they would have only been to sold as a slave in bond, men and women, she would have altogether held her peace. But her life is going to be snatched. And the king said, well, why? What? Who's doing this? Who is the wicked person? And Esther told the king all. My question this morning is this. I love to read that book of Esther and to see how the Lord worked mightily in that life of Esther and for all of the Jews' sake there. And of how what was intended for evil was turned around, and the one that was wanting evil to be done was his own life taken upon the very thing that he had created for someone else. But is God ruling in every area of my life? And if He is ruling in every area of my life, do I give total reverence to what God would have for me to go through, that I am willing to walk through that valley with Him, whatever it is? And when we do that, then our priorities come in order, because we are seeking first the kingdom of God. Another one I have is returning good for evil. Romans 12, verse 20 and 21. Therefore, if an enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Helping others in every way that I can. That's another point I have. That is in Hebrews 12 also. Hebrews 12, verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. First Corinthians 13, verse 7, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. The last point I have is to be happy. Proverbs 15, verse 13 says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Proverbs 17, verse 22, a merry heart doeth good like medicine. You know, I know that it is different for different people. The outlook and the concept of life that we have, some people tend to be positive, some people tend to be negative. And I understand that it takes both to start an engine, to make a battery work right. I think that's the way the Lord has made us. And it is done for a purpose. But let us find joy and fulfillment of life. In closing, I have 12 goes that I found somewhere. I do not even remember where I came across this, but it is someone had wrote. They are 12 goals. The first one is to begin, continue, and close each day with God. The second one is to read 3 portions of Scripture, and if possible, more every day. Third one is to keep a conscience void of offense toward God and men. The fourth one, to do by God's grace what my hands find to do. Number 5 is to stand by the right, come what will. The sixth one is to fear God and not man. Number 7, to live peaceably with all men, if it be possible, as much as lieth in me. Number 8, to contend earnestly for the truth in a meek spirit. Number 9, to be humble and mindful of death. Number 10, to remember that all my property, time, and strength belong to God, and I should freely give them for the furtherance of His cause. Number 11, to live this year more to the glory of God than ever I did before. And the 12th one is to live this year as I would live if I knew that it were my last here on earth. May God bless.
Let's have a song.